أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Today I will mention some expeditions and battles from the life of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. In history, we find mention of the expedition Hazrat Umar bin Khattab, may Allah be pleased with him, towards Turba. This expedition took place in Sha'ban in the 7th year after migration. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, sent Hazrat Umar bin Khattab, may Allah be pleased with him, to the tribe of Hawazin in Turba. Turba is located approximately 333 miles from Medina, on the main road towards Thana and Najran. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, sent Hazrat Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, there, along with 30 individuals. The reason for dispatching this expedition was the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, had received news of the people of Turba scheming against Islam. Hazrat Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, set off, and he had an individual from the Banu Hilal with him as a guide. The companions would travel by night and hide by day. When the people of Turba came to know of this, they fled from there. Hazrat Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, reached the area, but there was no one there. In fact, they had climbed up hills and mountains. However, their possessions and livestock were left behind, which they seized since they were mischievous people. Having seized their possessions, they returned to Medina. When they reached Dhul Jadr, a pasturing ground in the surroundings of Quba, and approximately 6 or 7 miles from Medina, the individual from the Banu Hilal said to Hazrat Umar, "Would you attack another group from the Banu Khasam? They have settled here due to famine in the area." Hazrat Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, replied, "The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, has not instructed me to do so. He merely instructed me to go to Turba and fight the tribe of Hawazin." Following this, Hazrat Umar returned to Medina because the people of Hawazin were the mischievous people. The allegation is raised that Muslims would attack others without any reason. This proves the allegation wrong as well. Then there is the expedition of Hazrat Bashir bin Sa'ad towards Banu Murra in Fadak. This expedition took place in Sha'ban in the 7th year after migration under the leadership of Hazrat Bashir bin Sa'ad, may Allah be pleased with him. The filial appellation of Hazrat Bashir was Abu Nu'man, and Sa'ad bin Tha'alaba was his father. He belonged to the tribe of Khazraj. Hazrat Bashir bin Sa'ad knew how to write during the age of ignorance. During this age, very few individuals in Arabia knew how to write. He became a Muslim during the second pledge at Aqaba, which another 70 Ansar participated in. He participated alongside the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, in the battles of Badr, Uhud, and the Ditch, and all other battles. Hazrat Bashir bin Sa'd was the first among the Ansar to pledge allegiance at the hands of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, may Allah be pleased with him, on the day of Saqifa Banu Sa'idah. During the caliphate of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, may Allah be pleased with him, in the 12th year after migration, Hazrat Bashir took part in the battle led by Hazrat Khalid bin Walid, Ain al-Tamr, and was martyred. The details of Ain al-Tamr are that it is a place near Kufa. The Muslims conquered it during the caliphate of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, may Allah be pleased with him, in the 12th year after migration. In any case, as I was mentioning earlier, the details of this expedition have been recorded as follows. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, sent Hazrat Bashir bin Sa'd along with 30 individuals to the Banu Murrah in Fadak. Fadak is located near Khaybar at a distance of 6 nights' journey from Medina. As has already been mentioned earlier, it should be clear that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, would dispatch expeditions or send companions for battle only when there was news that people were plotting against Islam. In any case, the companions set out and upon meeting some shepherds, inquired about the Banu Murrah. The shepherds informed them that the Banu Murrah were in their valley and had not come to the spring. The companions then drove their sheep and goats and set out to return to Medina. A crier from the Banu Murrah raised his voice and announced that the Muslims had taken their belongings. The news of this incident spread. During the night, the Muslims were confronted by a large army of the Banu Murrah. The Banu Murrah returned and launched an attack on the Muslims with huge force. The companions spent the entire night engaged in archery until they ran out of arrows. At dawn, the Banu Murrah launched another attack and martyred the companions of Hazrat Bashir, may Allah be pleased with him. Hazrat Bashir fought them fiercely until he was wounded and fell. He sustained an injury to his ankle, and it was assumed that he had died. The Banu Murrah then took their sheep and goats and returned, reclaiming the goods the Muslims had taken by martyring them. Hazrat Bashir, may Allah be pleased with him, lay among the martyrs until nightfall. He mustered the strength to get up and made his way to Fadak, where he stayed with the Jews for a few days. Once his wounds healed, he returned to Medina. Next is the mention of an expedition led by Hazrat Ghalib bin Abdullah al-Laythi towards Mayfa'a. This expedition took place in Ramadan of the 7th year after migration. Hazrat Ghalib bin Abdullah al-Laythi was from among the people of Hijaz. He was present at the time of the conquest of Makkah, and the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, had sent him ahead as a scout for the conquest. During the era of Amir Muawiyah, he served as the governor of Khurasa. According to one narration, he also participated in the Battle of Qadisiyah. Ibn Sa'd has written that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, sent Hazrat Ghalib towards the tribes of Banu Awal and Banu Abd bin Thalaba, who were residing in Mayfa'a. This place was located 96 miles from Medina, in the direction of Najd. The Banu Awal and Banu Abd had begun spreading negative propaganda against the Muslims and were gathering people with the intention of launching another campaign similar to the Arab confederates, the Ahzab. They were planning an attack on the Muslims. Ibn Hisham has described this expedition of Hazrat Ghalib bin Abdullah al-Laythi towards the Banu Murrah, who were allies of the tribe of Huraqa. Imam Bukhari, in reference to this expedition, has titled the chapter that is, the Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, sending Usama bin Zayd to the Huraqa tribes of Juhayna. This gives the impression that the commander of the expedition was Hazrat Usama bin Zayd. However, the commentator of Bukhari, Allama ibn Hajar, writes in his commentary that Usama bin Zayd's statement, "The Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, sent us to the tribe of Haraka," does not serve as evidence that he was the commander of the expedition. Furthermore, it is not proven that Usama bin Zayd was ever appointed as the commander of an army before his father Zayd was martyred in the Battle of Mu'tah. Hence, it is not established that he was appointed as a commander at that time. Therefore, the opinion of the scholars of Maghazi, that is, early Islamic military campaigns, is more reliable, superior, and acceptable, that the commander of this expedition was Hazrat Ghalib bin Abdullah al-Laythi. In any case, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, sent Hazrat Ghalib with 130 companions. The freed slave of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, Hazrat Yasar, was the guide for the Muslims. The Muslims launched a sudden attack and reached all the way to their valleys. Whoever stood up from among them to fight was killed, and the spoils of war, including sheep and goats, were brought back, but no one was taken as a prisoner. Ibn Sa'd has recorded that this was the same expedition in which Hazrat Usama bin Zayd killed Mirdas bin Lahik, even though he had recited, "There is no God except Allah." In Sahih Bukhari, this incident is described in the following manner. Hazrat Usama bin Zayd related that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, had sent him towards the tribe of Huraqat. He says, "We attacked in the morning and defeated them. One of the companions from Medina and I chased a man. When we caught him, the man said, 'There is no God but Allah.' The companion from Medina stopped, but I struck him with my spear and killed him. When we returned and the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, was informed of what had happened, he asked, 'O Usama, did you kill him after he said, "There is no God but Allah"? I replied that the man was only trying to save himself, but the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, kept repeating it. He repeated it many times, that, "Did you kill him?" I began to wish I had not accepted Islam before that day. Sahih Muslim has also narrated this in the following words. Why did you not cut open his heart to know whether he said it from his heart or not? The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, continued to repeat this in front of me until I wished I had embraced Islam only today. But today's clerics seem to think that they have cut open the hearts of Ahmadis and peered inside, which is why they deem it permissible to martyr and persecute them. May Allah bring them to justice. Another narration mentions that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, ordered that blood money be paid to the family of Mirdas and that their wealth be returned. Even though he was fighting against them, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said that because he had eventually uttered, "There is no God but Allah," his family should be given his blood money and his wealth should be returned. Hazrat Muslim, may Allah be pleased with him, also mentioned this incident. He writes that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, always instructed that the enforcement of Islamic law should be apparent, meaning it should be enforced based in a clear and apparent fashion because we don't know the condition of their heart. Once some companions were on a military expedition. On the way, they came across an idolater who was hiding in the wilderness, and whenever he found a Muslim alone, he would attack and kill him. Hazrat Usama bin Zayd chased this man and eventually caught him. He raised his sword to strike. When the idolater saw that he had been captured, he said, "There is no God but Allah." indicating that he now considered himself a Muslim. However, Hazrat Usama did not care for his words and killed him. When a man reached Medina to inform the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, about the expedition, he also reported this incident while reporting all of the incidents of the battle. Upon this, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, summoned Hazrat Usama and asked him, "Did you kill that man?" He answered, "Yes." The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, replied, "What will you do on the Day of Judgment when the words, 'There is none worthy of worship except Allah,' bear witness against you?" As I mentioned this, the clerics in Pakistan and their blind followers talk about going to paradise, that if you murder Ahmadis, you will enter paradise. But they are oblivious to the fact that these very actions of theirs are incurring the wrath of God Almighty. At one point or another, God will certainly seize them. In any case, Hazrat Muslim Aud, may Allah be pleased with him, describes this incident, referring to the fact that God Almighty will ask why it is that even after the man proclaimed the words, "There is no God but Allah," why did you kill him? Though he was fighting you, he had expressed repentance. Hazrat Usama tried to explain several times, "O Messenger of Allah, he was only claiming to believe out of fear." To this, the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings of Allah upon him, replied, "Did you cut open his heart and look inside to see if he was lying or not?" After this, the Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah upon him, went on continuously repeating, "On the Day of Judgment, what answer will you give when his proclamation of faith is presented before you?" Hazrat Usama narrates that in that moment, I wished I had only just become a Muslim today so that I would not have been able to make such a grave mistake. Then there is also the expedition of Bashir bin Sa'ad towards Yemen and Jabar. This took place in Shawwal, 7th year after Hijrah. Yemen and Jabar are situated between Fadak and the valley of Qura in Khaybar, in the region of the Banu Ghatafan. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, received intel that a group from the Ghatafan was gathering against the Holy Prophet, and that Uyayna bin Hisn had vowed to support them in this cause. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, mentioned this to Hazrat Abu Bakr and Hazrat Umar, may Allah be pleased with them. They suggested sending Hazrat Bashir bin Sa'ad. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, summoned Hazrat Bashir bin Sa'ad, instructed that a flag be prepared for him, and sent him along with a group of 300 companions. This group would travel by night and remain hidden by day, until finally they reached the place called Jabar. The shepherds were tending to their flocks at the time. Seeing the Muslims there, the shepherds fled and informed the other members of Ghatafan. Abandoning their belongings and cattle, these people fled and took to the higher elevations of the area. They left everything and ran. Only two of them were caught and captured. The companions took the abandoned possessions and cattle of the tribe into their possession and returned to Medina along with their captives. Here, when both captives became Muslims, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, allowed them to return to their region. The details of Umratul Qada have been recorded as follows. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, performed Umrah in Dhul Qa'dah, 7th year after Hijrah, in February 629 CE. In the month of Dhul Qa'dah, in the 7th year after Hijrah, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, left for Umrah. This was the same month in which just 1 year ago, the idolaters of Mecca had refused to allow the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, to perform the Umrah. And the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, had turned back from the place known as Hudaybiyah. Thus, the Holy Prophet embarked on this journey for the purpose of performing Umratul Qada. The commentator of Bukhari, Allama ibn Hajar, has recorded various names for this: Ghazwatul Qada, Umratul Qadiyah, Umrat al-Sulh, or Umratul Qisas. This Umrah is even called Ghazwatul Amn. It's called Umratul Qisas because in the 6th year after migration, during the sacred month of Dhul Qa'dah, The idolaters of Mecca prohibited the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, from performing the Umrah. And so it was to avenge this previous Umrah that the Messenger of Allah embarked on this journey, and in Dhul-Qa'dah, 7th year after Hijrah, entered the sacred mosque. Hazrat Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, states that on this occasion, the following verse of the Quran was revealed. That is, the violation of a sacred month should be retaliated in the sacred month. And for all sacred things, there is the law of retaliation. Ibn Hisham has stated that in Medina, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, appointed Uwayf bin Adbad Daylami as deputy, while according to Ibn Sa'd, Hazrat Abu Ruhum Ghifari was appointed to this position. The details of the journey for Umrah are narrated as follows. On this Umrah, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, was accompanied by 2,000 companions. At the time of departure, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, announced that everyone who had been present at Hudaybiyah should participate. All the companions who were present at Hudaybiyah joined the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, for this Umrah, except those who had been martyred during the Battle of Khaybar or had passed away. Besides them, several companions who had not been present at Hudaybiyah also joined him. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, took 60 sacrificial camels, adorning their necks with garlands and appointing Hazrat Najiyah bin Jundub to oversee them. When the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, reached Dhul Hulayfa, a village approximately 6 to 7 miles from Medina, he dispatched 100 horsemen ahead as a precautionary measure under the command of Hazrat Muhammad bin Maslama. On this journey, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, also carried helmets, weapons, armor, and spears, sending them ahead under the supervision of Hazrat Bashir bin Saad, may Allah be pleased with him. Here, the question arises, what was the need to carry weapons during Umrah, given that a treaty was already in place? The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, was reminded that the Quraysh had prohibited all weapons except sheathed swords. In response, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, clarified that they would not enter the sacred precincts armed. The weapons would remain close by, outside Mecca, as a precaution against possible betrayal, since the Quraysh could not be trusted. They could attack at any opportunity. When Muhammad bin Maslama and his horsemen reached Marr al-Zahran, they encountered some individuals from the Quraysh and informed them that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, would arrive at that place the following day. These people informed the rest of the Quraysh about this, who became fearful upon hearing this news. When the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, reached Marr al-Zahran, he sent all weapons to Yajaj, a place about 8 miles from Mecca. Upon learning that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, was coming to Mecca with weapons and supplies for war, the Meccan disbelievers became greatly alarmed and sent a delegation to investigate in Marr al-Zahran. Mikraz bin Hafs, the representative of the Quraysh, addressed the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, saying, O Muhammad, we have never known you to break a covenant. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, reassured him, saying, we will enter Mecca unarmed, as stipulated by our agreement. Hearing this, the disbelievers felt reassured. Mikraz then remarked, this is precisely why we consider you a paragon of virtue and faithfulness. Even though he was a disbeliever, he acknowledged this. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, appointed a group of companions under Hazrat Bashir bin Saad to guard the weapons. And according to the treaty, only swords were carried into Mecca. Accompanied by his companions, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, proceeded towards the Haram, reciting the Talbiyah, a prayer recited by Muslim pilgrims or those performing Umrah. The sacrificial animals were sent towards the Tuwa, a valley half a mile from the sacred mosque. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, entered Makkah, mounted on his camel Qaswa, approaching from the direction of a mountain near the valley of Muhassab, about 1.5 miles from the Kaaba. Hazrat Anas narrates that during this Umratul Qadha, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, entered Makkah while Hazrat Abdullah bin Rawaha walked ahead of him, saying, "O descendants of disbelievers, clear the way for the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Today we shall strike you such blows that will sever heads and cause friends to forget each other." Hazrat Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, rebuked him, saying, "O Ibn Rawaha, how can you recite such poetry in the Holy Prophet's presence and within the sacred precinct? This is wrong." The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, intervened, saying, "O Umar, leave him be. His words pierced them deeper than arrows." This was according to one narration. Another narration mentions that when Hazrat Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, attempted to stop Abdullah bin Rawaha, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said, "O Umar, I am listening to what he is saying." Hazrat Umar then became silent, and the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, instructed Abdullah bin Rawaha that instead of making such provocative statements, he should recite, "There is none worthy of worship except Allah. He is alone. He helped his servant and granted honor to his army and defeated all factions on his own." As the Muslim Aud, may Allah be pleased with him, has described this event in his own words, stating, "Upon reaching Marra Zahran, located one stop away from Makkah, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, gathered all the heavy weaponry and armor there, as stipulated by the treaty, entering Makkah only with sheathed swords along with his companions. The return of migrants to Makkah after 7 years of exile was no small matter. Their hearts bled recalling the prolonged persecution they endured in Makkah, while simultaneously rejoicing at God Almighty's grace in granting them the opportunity to perform tawaf, the circumambulation of the Kaaba, once again. The people of Makkah watched from mountain peaks as the Muslims approached, who desired to demonstrate that it was God who had enabled their return to Makkah. Abdullah bin Rawaha began reciting wartime poetry, but the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, stopped him, instructing him instead to proclaim, "There is none worthy of worship except God, who alone aided his messenger, elevated the believers from humiliation, and dispersed their enemies from before them." Hazrat ibn Awfa reports that whilst the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, was performing this Umrah, the companions guarded him against potential harm by the young idolaters of Makkah. In other words, they were protecting the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, in case he was attacked. When the Holy Prophet entered Makkah, some disbelievers retreated to the mountains, owing to their strong enmity towards the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and being unable to bear seeing the Holy Prophet and his companions performing the tawaf. Others gathered at Darud Nadwa to mockingly observe the tawaf, saying, "What sort of tawaf will these Muslims perform? Their hunger and the fever of Medina have weakened them greatly." Upon reaching the sacred mosque, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, did istiwa, meaning he drew his sheet upon himself in a manner that exposed his right shoulder and arm. Then the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said, "May God bestow his mercy upon those who exhibit their strength before these disbelievers." Then, along with his companions, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, began circling the Kaaba. They undertook the first three circuits while moving their shoulders and fully upright. They showed that whereas they thought them to be weak. They were not weak at all. There is a narration about this in Bukhari. Hazrat Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, states that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and his companions, arrived, and the disbeliever said, such people are coming to you who have been weakened by the fever of Medina. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, instructed the companions to perform three circuits while running, which is known in Arabic as Ramal. Every person who circles the Kaaba does Ramal for the first three circuits. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, showed kindness to the companions and did not instruct them to run for all the circuits. Hazrat Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, states that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, performed circuits around the house of Allah and between Safa and Marwa whilst running in order to show his strength to the disbelievers. According to another narration, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, performed sa'i between Safa and Marwa whilst riding on his animal. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and the Muslims sacrificed their sacrificial animals near Marwa. After this, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, sent some companions to Yajij, where there were some companions who had been appointed to stay with the weaponry, so that they could assume the duty from them, allowing them to perform the Umrah, the sacrifice, and other rites. Those who had been on duty with the weaponry were summoned so that they could perform the Umrah, and some new people were sent there to assume the duty from them. On this occasion, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, marriage to Hazrat Maymuna took place. The details of this are that during the same journey, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, married Hazrat Maymuna bin Harith, may Allah be pleased with her. This marriage was facilitated by Hazrat Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him. Hazrat Maymuna gave the decision of her marriage to her sister, Hazrat Fazl, who was the wife of the Holy Prophet's uncle, Hazrat Abbas. Hazrat Fazl then entrusted the decision to Hazrat Abbas. Hazrat Abbas settled her marriage with the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and Hazrat Maymuna's dowry was stipulated at 400 dirhams. Hazrat Muslim Aud, may Allah be pleased with him, has made mention of this as follows. Hazrat Abbas's sister-in-law, Maymuna, who had been a widow for quite some time, resided in Mecca. Hazrat Abbas expressed a desire for the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, to marry her, and the Holy Prophet accepted. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, remained in Mecca for 3 days. On the third day, the Quraysh sent Huwaytib bin Abdul Uzza, along with some others from the Quraysh, to the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. According to one narration, this delegation of the Quraysh went to Hazrat Ali, may Allah be pleased with him, saying that the period of their stay was completed and they should now leave. Upon this, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said, what harm is there if you remain a little while longer? We will prepare the food for our wedding here, as I am getting married. We will also invite you. The Quraysh said, we have no need for your invitation. Upon this, the Holy Prophet and the companions departed from Mecca, and he left his slave Abu Rafi with Hazrat Maymuna, may Allah be pleased with her. He took Hazrat Maymuna, may Allah be pleased with her, to a place called Sarif, a large valley near Tan'im, about 6 to 7 miles from Mecca. Hazrat Maymuna's name was Barra, and the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, changed her name to Maymuna. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him's marriage to Hazrat Maymuna was his last marriage. Hazrat Maymuna passed away in 51 after the migration at Sarif, the same place where her Rukhsatana with the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, took place. Hazrat Muslim Aud, may Allah be pleased with him, writes, on the fourth day, the Meccans demanded that in accordance with the treaty, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, should leave. The Holy Prophet immediately instructed all the companions to leave Mecca and set out towards Medina. Bearing the sentiments of the Meccans in mind, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, even left the newly married Maymuna behind to join him later, along with the animals bearing their provisions. He made his own ride animal run swiftly, exiting the boundaries of the sacred mosque, and it was there later in the evening that his wife Maymuna was brought. It was there in the jungle that Maymuna went to the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah upon him, and they spent their first night. That blessed place of companionship with the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, remained very dear to Hazrat Maymuna. This was the reason that Hazrat Maymuna expressed in her will that when she passed away, she should be buried at the same place where the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him's tent was, the one in which she was brought to the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. It was God's will that when she went to perform Hajj, she fell ill in Mecca. After a few days, she asked to be taken outside of Mecca because the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, had told her that she would not pass away in Mecca. Hence, the people took her outside of Mecca, and when they reached Sarif, the mother of the believers, Hazrat Maymuna's soul, departed from her body, and she passed away. Thus, in accordance with her will, she was buried in that very place. At the time of her demise, she was 80 or 81 years of age. During this journey, there is also mention of an incident pertaining to Hazrat Hamza's daughter. Hazrat Bara'a states that when the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, was about to depart from Mecca, Hazrat Hamza's daughter came after him, calling out, "Oh my uncle, oh my uncle." Upon this, Hazrat Ali, may Allah be pleased with him, took her hand and told Hazrat Fatima, may Allah be pleased with her, to take her uncle's daughter. She took her along with her riding animal. Hazrat Ali, Hazrat Zayd, and Hazrat Ja'far disputed regarding her custody. Hazrat Ali, may Allah be pleased with him, said, "I have taken her in, and she is my uncle's daughter." Hazrat Ja'far, may Allah be pleased with him, said, "She is my uncle's daughter, and her maternal aunt is my wife." Hazrat Zayd said, "She is my brother's daughter." The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, decided the matter in favor of her maternal aunt, saying that the maternal aunt is like a mother. This was another matter which he resolved. Many such matters are disputed in Qadar. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said that the maternal aunt is like a mother and that the child should be given to her. The Holy Prophet said to Hazrat Ali, may Allah be pleased with him, "You are from me and I am from you." He comforted him in this way. He said to Hazrat Ja'far, "You resemble me in your appearance and your morals." To Hazrat Zayd, he said, "You are our brother and one of those amongst us who has been freed." Hazrat Ali said, "Will you not marry Hazrat Hamza's daughter?" The Holy Prophet said, "She is the daughter of my milk brother. I cannot marry her." The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, returned to Medina in the month of Dhul-Hijjah. Another expedition was of Akhram bin Abi Auja towards the Banu Sulaym. This expedition took place in Dhul-Hijjah in the 7th year after migration. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, sent Hazrat Akhram along with 50 men towards the Banu Sulaym, who resided near Medina. A spy from the Banu Sulaym was accompanying Hazrat Akhram, and he went ahead and alerted his people, who gathered a large army. When Hazrat Akhram reached them, the Banu Sulaym were ready to fight against them. Hazrat Akhram invited them towards Islam. They replied, "We are in no need for that to which you invite us." Following this, both sides fired arrows for some time. During this time, the Banu Sulaym received reinforcements and they surrounded the Muslims from all sides. The Muslims fought a fierce battle until most of them were martyred. Hazrat Akhram was also severely wounded and fell down amongst those who had died. He then reached the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, on the 1st of Safar in the 8th year after migration. Then there is the expedition of Hazrat Ghalib bin Abdullah al-Laythi towards Qadid. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, sent Hazrat Ghalib bin Abdullah al-Laythi towards the Banu Mulawih tribe, who were a branch of the Banu Layth tribe, in Safar of the 8th year after migration. The Banu Mulawih lived in Qadid. Qadid was situated approximately 208 miles from Medina. In Sahih al-Bukhari, it is mentioned that there was a spring in between the tribes of Usfan and Qadid. According to one narration, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, dispatched Hazrat Ghalib with a 15-man contingent. In this expedition, the slogan raised by the Muslims was "Amit, Amit," i.e. destroy. Hazrat Jundub bin Muqif narrates, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, dispatched Hazrat Ghalib bin Abdullah on an expedition, and I was part of that expedition. He ordered us to attack the Banu Mulawwah in Qadid. Thus, we set off and reached Qadid. When we reached Qadid, we encountered Ibn Barsa, Harith bin Malik al-Laythi, who we apprehended and brought with us. He said, I have set out to convert to Islam, and I am heading to see the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. We said, if you have indeed set out to convert to Islam, then one day and one night's provisions will not harm you. Meaning if you remain imprisoned, it will not cause him any harm. But if you have any other intentions, then we shall soon find out. And so we tied him up tightly and appointed Suwaid bin Manhar, slave of dark complexion, to stand guide. We continued our journey until we reached Qadid at sunset. We were on one side of the valley when my companions told me to go on ahead and gather information. I climbed atop a small mount from where I could observe them. Ascending it, I raised my head and lay flat on my stomach. Thereupon, a man emerged from his tent and caught sight of me. He shot an arrow which struck my side. And according to one narration, he said that the arrow landed between my eyes upon my forehead. Yet I remained steadfast in my position. Then he shot a second arrow which struck my shoulder. I pulled it out and cast it aside, remaining firm in my place without making the slightest movement, lest he be alerted. Eventually, he returned to his tent. We granted them a respite, and when they had grown content and fallen asleep, we launched an attack upon them at the break of dawn. We slew their warriors and took their weapons and drove away their livestock. Then one among them cried out and gathered together such a formidable army whose strength far surpassed our own. A mighty army was brought against us. We continued on our way with the animals and did not once look back. As we passed by Ibn Barsa and his companion, we took them along with us as well. The enemy drew so near that only the valley of Qadid remained between us and them. At that moment, Allah the Almighty caused a flood to surge through the valley, even though no cloud or rain could be seen. Thus, Allah sent force against which none had the power to withstand, nor could anyone cross it. The enemy stood on the other side, looking in our direction, while we continued to take away their livestock. Not a single one among them was granted the ability to advance towards us, and so we hastened on with the animals until we left them behind. I.e., the enemy remained behind and could not catch us. Eventually, we arrived in the blessed presence of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah upon him. In any case, these incidents are ongoing. At this time, I wish to make a special appeal for prayers for the Ahmadis in Pakistan. The Ahmadis of Pakistan should pray for themselves as well. As I have said, they should focus on reciting Durood, the prayer for sending salutations upon the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and they should recite the following 200 times a day. Holy is Allah and worthy of all praise. Holy is Allah the most great. O Allah, bestow thy blessings upon Muhammad and the people of Muhammad. The greatest possible attention should be given towards this. If we do justice to offering prayers and give due regard, only then will there be progress. The attention that should have been given to prayers has not yet been given. It cannot be said, as some people write to me, that prayers alone will not achieve anything and that something else should be done. But what else should be done? Our only weapon is prayer, something which I have repeatedly mentioned, and I have also presented quotations of the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him. It is very wrong to think that prayers will have no effect. Prayers are the solution to our success. May Allah the Almighty enable everyone to do so and enable us to be those who do justice to offering prayers. If we simply say that prayers will not result in anything and we do not do justice to them, then it will be an erroneous complaint against Allah the Almighty on our part. We should seek forgiveness for this. There was also an incident in Karachi today were rioters and terrorists, though they claim to represent Islam, but in reality they are terrorists, attacked one of our mosques, where an Ahmadi was also martyred. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Verily to Allah we belong and to Him shall we return. The details have not yet been received. They will be presented once they are received, God willing. May Allah the Almighty procure the means for these cruel people to swiftly be brought to task.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله ونشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله ان الله يامر بالعدل والاحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله